You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. There's been a long-running conversation about Milwaukee schools. In a lot of cases, it's a long-running argument. There have been worries about the quality of education, below-average test scores, and racial and economic disparities, with a wide variety of solutions offered, including different kinds of school choice programs.
The conversation heated up last month when former U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan described Milwaukee schools' performance on standardized tests as, quote, a national disgrace.
Our next guests are education experts who followed Milwaukee school issues over the years. They've been writing about Secretary Duncan's comments and a possible road ahead, including the idea of a unified school board that would cover all schools, public, charter, and private.
Alan Borsick is a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School. He writes on education in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
Michael R. Ford is also with us. He's assistant professor of public administration at UW Oshkosh. Michael, thanks to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
So, Alan, a national disgrace. This got a lot of attention. Without going too deep into the numbers, how bad are schools looking in Milwaukee?
Well, you can certainly argue about what the cause is, whether it's just that the kids are coming from circumstances that don't foster success because of their low-income background and so on, or what role schools played. But nonetheless, about one in six third through eighth graders in Milwaukee are regarded as proficient or better in reading, which means over 80% are not. The percentage of 11th graders who are proficient in reading math are very low. I think it was 70% are in the below basic category in math. And that's when they're getting to the end of the line of high school. It's not like they've got the prospects of straightening this out before they graduate are not very good.
And Michael, you wrote on a blog post that a lot of bold solutions have been offered to the point where you're getting skeptical of the concept of bold solutions. Why do these big ideas that people get excited about often go wrong?
Well, I think there's no continuity. There's no unified approach. So we have all these, and some of them are, you know, they're good ideas. They have led to pockets of success, but it's led to this incredibly fragmented public education system. So we have these, you know, the voucher sector, the public sector, the independent charter school sector. We fund, we regulate, we govern these systems inconsistently. And then we expect that there's going to be some new magical reform that's going to work in all situations. And our system is just far too diverse and far too complicated for that to work.
And Alan, a lot of these different alternatives that Michael has talked about have been contentious, to say the least, especially related to school choice, the conversation less than constructive often. Do you see this driving a lot of conflict when people are talking about Milwaukee schools?
Well, yes, and to put it in one word, I mean, in the cities and the metropolitan areas where there is more signs of success, and nobody's totally licked the urban education dilemmas, the low-income kids' dilemmas and such. But in the cities where there is more movement and more sense of progress, a unified approach, something where the community as a whole, business, private sector, community groups, and educators are pretty much aligned, is very strong. And in Milwaukee, it's very weak because everyone's fighting with each other, and that's been true for a quarter of a century now.
And Michael, this takes us to a starting point you wrote about that we need to turn our focus to what you say is not a sexy topic, governance, how schools are run, how school boards function. Why is that an important starting point?
Well, I think because we have to look at the facts on the ground right now. There's nothing magical about charter schools or vouchers. We have a large body of research now showing that. There's a wide variation of performance within those systems, like an MPS. I think we've seen, especially at the State House recently, that everybody wants accountability, but there's absolutely no agreement on what that means, so we don't make any progress. I think we also have to recognize that there's enough students using vouchers and charters that they're not going away. They're part of the education infrastructure. So if we can have some type of new governance structure that recognizes everyone's legitimacy, gives everybody a seat at the table, has actual legal authority to address quality, and also gives voters a voice, I think that can finally create the conditions for positive change. I mean, a governance solution isn't guaranteed to work, but if you have this fragmented approach, it's guaranteed to fail.
And Michael, so you made a modest proposal of sorts, a unified school board from Milwaukee that covers not just the public schools or just the charters, not just the vouchers, all of it together. So run us through briefly your vision for that.
Yeah, the way I proposed it, it would be an 11-seat board, which admittedly seems kind of large, but it'd be based on market share. So the idea here is that MPS has about 70% market share. They get 5 seats at the table. The voucher sector has about 25%. They get 2 seats at the table. The independent charter school gets 7%. They get 1 seat at the table. And then I'd leave 3 seats in there for citywide elections for the voters to choose. I see parents within these schools electing these positions, or perhaps one school, one vote. But this would be an entity that has legal authority to decide who gets funded and who doesn't get funded.
Talking to Michael Ford from UW Oshkosh and Alan Borsick with Marquette University Law School, looking at the schools in Milwaukee, the road ahead, possible solutions to the problems they face. So, Alan, you had read what Michael's just talking about. You've written about it a little yourself. Is that, do you think, maybe a forum where, as you said, everybody, all the stakeholders could come together and start to work together to solve problems?
Well, to be honest, and I suspect Mike would agree with me on this, this isn't likely to happen. It would require a sense of unity, and it would require some really strong leadership and some self-sacrificing decisions by people in all these sectors. I just don't know if it's going to happen. Nonetheless, I think it's really an idea worth talking about, and I'm not endorsing any specific idea. I think the plan that Mike is talking about is interesting. I just really like the idea, and I got a glimpse of it a few months ago at I might say somewhat surprisingly, at a Milwaukee Common Council committee meeting, where a school that was not doing well was really forced to answer hard questions. And to say, now, is it, and the aldermen themselves were saying, is this school something that we really want our kids, the city's kids, to be in? Is this good enough for our kids? And that every school should be, the notion that every school, no matter what sector it's in, should be subject to an outside, independent, and very positively oriented entity of some kind, asking them, are you doing your best, and what do you need to do your best, and what are the problems, and how are we going to deal with them? That sense of holding everyone up to saying, what are you going to do to get better, really appeals to me.
And Alan, it sounds like you're saying, though, that whether it's this solution or another one, there are a lot of people who don't want to give up whatever current authority they have or autonomy they might have for the greater good, I guess, and the good of the students.
Yes. I can give you a one-word answer on that. Yeah, no, I don't. Frankly, I was involved in a little bit of an effort 5 years ago to see if we could get some leaders of these movements together and get some sense of how do we create a unified program to drive towards excellence. And nobody wanted to budge, and I don't know if anything has changed in the 5 years. I just think everybody wants to win. So I'd be glad to do this as long as I win. That's not going to get us anywhere.
So, Michael, I know this is kind of a fledgling idea of sorts, but how do you get everybody at the table and everybody in a place where they could start to compromise on this plan or something else like it?
Yeah, well, I think I'd start off by agreeing with Alan that he read me correctly, that it's incredibly unlikely, very difficult. I do have some optimism simply because I put myself in the shoes of the policymakers, let's say in the 80s, and they couldn't have come up with the Milwaukee system as it is today. Nobody would have thought that could have happened. So I think you need to have strong state support because you would certainly need a state law change. You'd have to have local support and buy-in. Most importantly, as Alan alluded to, you'd have to have a willingness among leaders of both MPS, the voucher and charter movements, a willingness to cede some power and independence in the name of quality, and more importantly, have some way of formally recognizing each other's legitimacy. And I say formally, I think it's so important to have something that goes beyond the very well-meaning and some doing very well, doing good work, the nonprofits in town that are bringing sectors together. There is activity there, but without that seal of formality, I don't see us moving forward. And, there's so much politics at play here, so much history at play here, that it does take a lot of trust building and leadership, quite frankly.
So absent that leadership, it doesn't sound like the top-down approach is going to happen. You just alluded, Michael, to sort of a bottom-up approach where nonprofits are trying to bring stakeholders together. What kind of things do you see going on that might show promise?
For example, PAVE is doing a good job training board members to work at what I call the micro-governance of charter schools and voucher schools in the city. You have Schools That Can Milwaukee that does things like teacher coaching and is working with individual schools. You have Milwaukee Succeeds, which has gotten a lot of press. So you do have all these little pockets of organizations that are absolutely willing to work across sectors, but it's still very grassroots. I think it needs to be brought up to higher levels.
Alan, do you see any promise for people working at that level, nonprofits, grassroots, the people in the midst of things? If they can keep these programs going and expand them, maybe if they lead, the leaders will follow?
I would moderate what I said before and agree with Mike that there's some signs of cross-sector work and work that's really just focused on an individual school and can we make it better, whatever it's a stream, whether it's MPS or charters or vouchers. But I don't think, to use the word that Mike was saying for it, I don't think it's bold enough in the sense it's not going to change the landscape. I agree with him that so many bold things have proved to be useless. And on the other hand, I look at the test scores for this year, especially the test scores for the schools that are serving the neediest kids, the kids with the longest and strongest connection to a history of not succeeding in their neighborhoods or in those particular schools. And I said, why aren't we really saying, what are we going to do about these schools? How can you look at these test scores, think about what it means to the future of not only Milwaukee, but certainly the whole Milwaukee area, and I think in a real way to the whole state, to have such large numbers of kids doing poorly? How can we not look at this and say, it's time to really think of a way to drive excellence at the school level more effectively than we're doing now, because what we're doing now isn't working?
We're talking to education analyst Alan Borsak with Marquette University Law School and Michael Ford at UW Oshkosh, looking at the road ahead. Signs of hope or optimism if you see them out there for Milwaukee schools.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think would help Milwaukee schools? Do you think there's too much focus on big, bold changes and maybe not enough on the nuts and bolts of running an effective schools? If you work in schools, what do you see as being the best for students? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation now about Milwaukee schools with Alan Borsak from Marquette University and Michael Ford from UW Oshkosh. They've been writing about possible improvements to schools in the state after the former U.S. Secretary of Education called Milwaukee test scores a national disgrace.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think needs to be done to help Milwaukee schools? If you work in a school in Milwaukee or elsewhere, if you're on a school board, what works best? What makes the most difference for the students? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers now with Sister Mary Lee in Milwaukee. Sister Mary Lee, hi.
Hi. I love the conversation that's going on, but I'd like to interject that there may be a missing component to student success. We can do all we can to get students to read in by the first three grade levels, but if they go home to an illiterate parent or parents who have not valued education, who have not had the opportunity for education or not taken those opportunities, they're not going to get the reinforcement at home that they need to be successful. And so one of my issues with trying to change the schools is that we are limiting where we are looking to make improvements. I'm on the board of Milwaukee Achiever Literacy Services, which for decades, the three colleges of Stritch, Mount Mary, and El Verno got together with the corresponding religious communities of women decades ago to form this organization that offers adult literacy. And we offer HSED and GED. We just graduated 58 HSED, high school equivalent degree diplomas, about a month ago.
That's great. Congratulations on the success of that program. By the way, I'll plug next week on Central Time, we in Wisconsin Life are looking at literacy efforts around the state of Wisconsin. So tune in to learn more about that. Alan, this idea, to help the students, you got to help the parents. Sounds good. But is that one more thing on the school district that they would have to tackle?
Well, I agree that it's a great thing. And I applaud any effort to improve reading and adults. I think it's, without question, it's true that if a child comes from a home where the adults are readers and have books, the odds that the child's going to turn out to be a reader and into books and such are very strong, and the opposite is true, and there's an awful lot of homes where that's not true. But when you have a lot of those, so many homes where that's not true, do you just give up on the kids and say, I can't do anything about it? I think schools, I've seen too many cases where highly energized, really focused, well-run schools with great leaders of the school itself are doing a better job, and I wonder why there aren't more schools. So the schools can do something. I'm entirely in favor of doing more working with families. I think a lot of parents, you're not going to have 100% success rate, a lot of parents are looking for some help, looking for coaching, looking for some mentoring, looking for ideas of how to be better parents. Some of them just haven't tried things that really are helpful. So I agree more or less close to 100% with the caller.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Sean on the line in Burlington. Sean, hi.
Hi. The whole thing kind of drives me crazy in a way because we're always talking about how do we fix the schools in Milwaukee, and I honestly don't think that we can fix the schools in Milwaukee until we fix Milwaukee. The schools are a symptom of what's going on there. We've had decades of white flight, overt and covert racism, high concentrations of poverty, joblessness, and those symptoms are, the schools are a symptom. And until we get serious about fixing the prime city in our state and bringing up the level of opportunities there, the schools are never going to get any better. It's always the same thing when you look in Racine and Beloit. It's not the schools, it's the concentrated poverty that is the cause.
Sean, thanks a lot for that call. So Michael, he's saying it's not the schools are a symptom of deeper problems. So I guess where does that leave us in trying to help the kids in those schools?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of truth to that. There's a heck of a lot that the schools cannot control, and there are reasons that schools are struggling. I often think, you know, if you were to take all the teachers in the Milwaukee Public Schools and swap them out with the teachers, let's say, in Brookfield or out in the suburbs, I mean, you wouldn't see dramatic changes. But I do think it's important to meet people where they are, meet the system where they are. The Milwaukee Public School System, the schools in Milwaukee, they can't control what's going on outside of those school walls, but they certainly can maximize the likelihood, maximize the positive impact they have within those walls. And right now, as a system, I don't think we're doing that, which is why I like this unified governance approach.
Talking to Alan Borsuk and Michael Ford about Milwaukee schools, what might be able to be done to help them function better, get better results. Our next caller is Richard on the line in Milwaukee. Richard, hi.
Hi. How are you today?
Good. What do you think?
I think this is a government of the people, by the people, for the people, then we're all part of the government, and a unified government approach is wonderful. If we can keep the hope alive that was planted in this nation to begin with by some, but they came from places where people were divided, and people often want to go back to something like that, and that's where we're at now. But
Richard,
we're all part of this. Your children need your guidance. You need the guidance of the children, and you need brotherhood, sisterhood.
Richard, thanks a lot for the call. I think he's making the case, Alan, for civic involvement, public representation in the management of the schools. How does that look in Milwaukee now?
Well, we do have this very fragmented situation. We had an effort in 2010 to have switched to more of a mayoral control model here, and that was a total bomb. I don't think that's going to come back. And this isn't going to work if it's something that's just rammed down the throat of the community here, because there's people who have strong feelings. But hoping that somehow people will rise up to realize we have to do more than we're doing, at least you can nurture the hope, which is what I'm trying to do. I should add that I'm the one who spoke to Ernie Duncan, and he said national disgrace, and you can quote me on that, and I did. He was referring to the test scores, but he was also referring to the amount of effort and initiative and leadership and just what are we doing about it that I think he's found frustrating, specifically in dealing with Milwaukee in the 7 years that he was Secretary of Education in the Obama administration.
We'll leave it there for now. Probably talk to both of you again. Alan, thanks a lot for joining us.
Glad to be with you.
And Michael, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
We've been hearing from Alan Borsig, Senior Fellow in Law and Public Policy at Marquette University Law School, and Michael Ford, Assistant Professor of Public Administration at the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh, looking at the present and future of schools in Milwaukee.